go to Hebrews chapter number 11. We're talking about faith walkers, and we're going to just walk our way down Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to take one character at a time. I got to tell you something so funny. It is. You know what I did? I sat down this afternoon. I said, well, I did Abel. I didn't even open 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I said, I did Abel. The next one's Noah. Okay? And so I Googled Noah's name. The verses in Hebrews chapter 11 came up. I highlighted Noah's verses, put it on there, got it almost completely done. And then I opened the Bible up and found this guy named Enoch that somehow snuck in between. So I'm pretty much ready for Noah next Wednesday night, all right? So, yeah, just kind of jumped right over Enoch, you know. But faith walkers. The Bible says that we're to walk by faith, not by sight. If there's ever a time, Christians, where we better understand and begin to learn what it is to walk by faith, not by sight, it's right now, okay? Don't walk by fear, walk by faith. Don't walk by sight, walk by faith. We talked about Abel last week, and then we were going to talk about Noah this week, but instead, Enoch, in a panic, I prepared the message for tonight. Faith walkers, Enoch, look, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Verse number 5, Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, that's the key phrase in this chapter. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we take the Bible and study it tonight, that you'll help us. Enoch is such a wonderful example. It's the second step of the faith walk. Lord, as we first of all looked at Abel, and you think about, where does faith start? Well, faith has to start as we appropriate salvation, as we accept Christ as our Savior. That's the first step of the faith walk. Lord, we can't be saved by works. We must be saved by faith. But Lord, now as we watch the progression here, we have Enoch, and he teaches us the second most important step in this walk of faith. The next step after salvation is that we have an opportunity to develop a personal relationship with our holy God. And so, Lord, help us to understand that and help us by faith to begin, Lord, to deepen that relationship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we want to take a look back at the story of Enoch. There's not a lot said about Enoch, but if you want to mark Hebrews chapter number 11, and then go back to Genesis chapter number 5, we're going to talk about a man who one day decided that he would, by faith, begin to walk with God. Genesis chapter 5, and we'll look at verse number 18. Genesis 5 and verse number 18. Here we're given the genealogies. We're kind of parachuting down in the middle of the genealogies of the family of Seth, and we get to verse number Genesis 5, verse number 18. Let's look there, 18. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Here's Enoch. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Who is Enoch? Well, preacher, who is he? Tell us a little bit about him. Enoch was the seventh generation of mankind. If you scroll your way down here, beginning with Adam, and then, of course, his son Seth that replaced Abel. And then Seth, God gave him a young man by the name of Enosh. And then from Enosh came Kenan. And from Kenan came Mahalalel, something like that. And then that man, his firstborn was Jared. And then Jared begat Enoch. Seven generations from Adam. It's really neat to do the math on these things. You see, Adam was still alive when Enoch was born. That's very key in what we're going to teach tonight. Adam was still alive when Enoch was born. Adam would have been 622 years old when Enoch was born. Enoch only was on this earth for 365 years. Only 365 years, which if you compare him to all the other numbers, was pretty short. Enoch was the great-grandfather of Noah, the great-grandfather of Noah. And the Bible says this about Enoch. Enoch walked with God. Doesn't say that about any of the generations between Adam and Enoch. Listen, folks, it doesn't say that about generation 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. I mean, I think if they did, if God stopped and mentioned it about Enoch, wouldn't he have stopped and mentioned it about these other ones? But here we have a young man that is seven generations removed from Adam, but he had access to Adam. Adam was alive. Adam liked to tell stories. Adam was the old gray patriarch. Maybe the rest of them, as they were born, you know, didn't have the inclination to go see great, 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 great grandpa. You know, got a little tired of his stories. Let's rather play than listen. But I think Enoch was different. You see, because Adam had a story. He had a story to tell. And the Lord let him stay on earth a long time to tell it, 930 years. He lived all the way up into the ninth generation of mankind so that he could personally pass down the story of what happened in the Garden of Eden. So he could tell about a time before sin, when he could tell about a time when God would come down and walk with him and his wife in the cool of the day. And you know what? He told generation one. He told generation 2, 3, 4, he told them 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, but no indication that any of them took him serious enough to try it. And then all of a sudden, here's a young man, seven generations removed from Adam, that listens to this and walks outside and looks up to the sky and says, huh, if God did that for great, 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 great grandpa Adam, I wonder if he'd still do that for me. Are you listening? Are you thinking? You know, why was Enoch, why was he listed in this wonderful chapter on those that are giants when it comes to this matter of faith? Because, folks, Enoch, when he walked with God, he had to, by faith, walk with God. He had to do it by faith. Think about that. Why did he choose to walk with God? Preacher, what's your theory on that? I think there's two possible motivations. I've just explained to you the first one. I think that he was motivated by Adam's testimony. Adam was alive, 622 years old when Enoch was born. You think about that. Adam died 57 years before Enoch was translated. There was a 308-year overlap between the birth of Enoch and the death of Adam. And you know what? There was a time when Adam and Eve walked pre-sin. Walked in the cool of the day, walked in the presence of the Lord. And so I think that that motivated him. There's also something in the scripture that's interesting that's mentioned here when it talks about Enoch and the timing of when he began to walk with God. Verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And you know what? All of a sudden God brings into his life his first child, a little baby boy. And you know what? If that doesn't sober you up, young couples, then I don't know what it's going to take to sober you up. If that don't get you serious about living for God and walking with God, then I don't know what it's going to take to get you serious. Because these aren't baby dolls. These aren't G.I. Joe and Barbies that you've got. These are real people that are going to grow up, and they're going to have to at some point choose. And you know what they need? They need a godly mother and they need a godly father. And they need to live in a home where they can watch mom and dad walk with God. Walk with God. So I look at these two things and I think it's probably a combination of Adam's testimony. Think about the impact of the generations before him and that he took the time to listen to them. And then also the responsibility of realizing that I have to raise the next generation. Okay, think about that. You say, preacher, did it matter? Does it say that Methuselah walked with God? Nope. Does it say that Lamech, Methuselah's son, walked with God? Nope. What about Lamech's son? Oh, yeah, he was Noah. Does it say that Noah walked with God? Yep. A matter of fact, he walked with God at a very crucial time. We're going to talk about Noah. I'm well versed on Noah right now. I could teach the whole thing right now. But you think about that. Let me just have y'all look right up here. I'm going to tell you something. To me, this is a little discouraging. That Adam walked with God, and then it takes seven generations to find someone else that in the family lineage that was willing to walk with God. So Enoch walks with God, and God performs an unbelievable miracle. And don't think that story wasn't told. But it still takes three more generations before somebody says, you know what, maybe I ought to walk with the Lord. I don't know, maybe they were scared after what happened to Enoch. You know, if I do this, I could disappear, you know. But, look at this. This is crazy. Bob and Donna Ross, let me just kind of say something. I'll just personalize it in my own family, okay? You can personalize it in your family. And I'm not mad at members of my family, but I'm disappointed in some of them, okay? But my mom and dad was saved out of the world, first-generation Christians. They started a new lineage, a new heritage, a godly heritage. Okay, they raised four children. And you know what they did? They walked with God. But guess what? We had to each choose whether or not we were going to walk with God. Are you listening to me, young people? You know how many, what an unbelievable blessing it is to have a mom and a dad, or even to have just one of your parents that are willing to walk with God. Okay? And so, you know what? I had to make a choice. Just because your parents decide to live for the Lord, and just because your mom has a personal relationship with God, you've got to come to the day where you decide, hey, I'm going to go find the Lord. I'm going to build a relationship with God. It's going to be real in my life. And what you do, you raise your children to do the same. But you know what? They've got to choose. You know what we're seeing in some people? You know what? And listen, this is sad. Because, you know, you have a generation that was saved out of the world. I mean, out of the world. Miraculously brought to Christ out of the world from non-Christian families. Producing Christian children that are raised in a Christian home. And grandchildren that were raised in those Christian homes. And how many generations down does God have to start all over because one person decides that it's not going to be real in their life? And so as a result, they have children and grandchildren that don't even know God. And here, you know, you've got a godly heritage. Your grandfather, your great-grandfather was a preacher. I mean, he was saved out of the world. He tried to give everybody a new start. And now two or three or four generations later, we're starting all over trying to find your kids and get them on a bus route. And you don't even go to church. Okay? I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to stand in front of God trying to explain that to him. So, you know, this is kind of, when I'm looking at this, I'm kind of like, you know, obviously Seth was a seed that God gave in replacement. I'm not talking about whether or not they believed in God or knew God. I'm talking about whether they walked with God, had that personal relationship. What if Noah didn't get it? By the way, Noah didn't have a chance to meet Adam. Enoch was the link. What if Enoch hadn't chosen? Would Noah have ever chosen? When God came down and looked at mankind, they've turned to wickedness. And it grieved him in his heart that he even made mankind. And yet Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, let that settle in on you. I don't know. I don't want to be the one that drops the baton. I don't want to be the generation that drops the ball. I don't want to be handed a godly heritage and then fail to hand it down to my children and try to hand it down to my grandchildren. But you know what, young people? You have to be willing to accept it. You have to carry it on. Two generations. six generations before someone decides they're just going to walk the hills and say, hey, God, are you real? I mean, are you really, really real? Are you there? I mean, Adam, he's telling me these stories. I want to find out. Are you real? And then a couple generations later. So this is who Enoch was. Well, it moves my heart. Why did it please the Lord? The Bible says it pleased the Lord. What Enoch did pleased God. Why did it please the Lord for Enoch to make this decision? Why did he count it him amongst the faith walkers? You see, God created us for fellowship. He created us for fellowship. You know, one of the things I've said, and I've said it a lot lately, but it just seems like it keeps coming up with what I'm studying, but folks, think about this. God is self-sufficient. God is self-sufficient. Okay? He's all-sufficient. He doesn't need anything. Listen, he doesn't need anyone. So if God didn't need me, why did he make me? If God didn't need you, why did he save you? God did not make me because he needs me. He made us because he wants us. He didn't save me because he needs me. He saves me because he wants me. Now that means he wants a relationship with you. I don't understand it. I don't understand why God wants a relationship with Jerry Ross, but he does. You know what he desires? He desires me to seek him. You know, before you were saved, God had to seek you. No man ever sought God. He had to seek us. I preached it for years called Hide and Seek. And I said, you know what? You ought to be glad that God was okay with being it. You know why? Because he was it. He was willing to be it. You know what the summary verse of Jesus' life is? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save. Not just save. He had to seek us. He had to chase us. Seems like mankind, they're constantly running away from the very one that wants to save them. No man, don't say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I sought the Lord and sought the Lord and sought the Lord, and finally I found him and he saved me. You better read Romans chapter 3, because the Bible says there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. God's always had to be it. Okay, that was before we're saved. God was willing to be it. So he's willing to chase us and bring circumstance in our life and love us and care for us and protect us and give us chance after chance after chance. And finally we get saved and we're his child. And God says, good, I shouldn't have to be it anymore. And yet in most Christians' life, God spends most of their Christian life still having to be it. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Once we're saved, it shouldn't be God seeking after us. It ought to be us seeking after him. You know, we read that, how many sermons have been preached out of 2 Chronicles 7:14? You got that formula for revival, you know. And you know what? The Bible talks about praying, but it doesn't just talk about praying there. It says if we'll humble ourselves and pray and what? Seek his face. You know what? Praying and seeking his face is two different things. Think about that. Humility, you're never going to pray as long as you're proud. Okay, prayerlessness is your declaration of your independency from God. The reason some of you never prayed today is because you don't really think you need God. You got this handled. You were fine without him today. You didn't need to ask him for anything. And he recognizes that in you. Because you're proud. Prayer is our declaration of our dependency upon God. Where we start out the day saying, Lord, I'm going to mess this thing up if I don't have your help. I'm not going to do the things or think the things or accomplish the things or see the miracles that I could see if I go out of here and try to do this on my own. Lord, I need you. I need you. I need you today. And you take that prayer and carry it all through the day. And you know what? God looks down and says, amen. But prayer, if you think about it, prayer, by definition, the word prayer means asking. It means to make a request. So here's... We humble ourselves, then we pray. So we come to God and we say, oh, God, I come to you because I need this and I need this and I need this and I need this and I need this. And God loves to hear prayers. But that's the difference between praying and seeking your face. You know, my daughters, when they're running around, a lot of times when they come find dad, it's because they needed something. Okay? Dad, What? Come here. Why? I need you. Again, you know, they need me to pick up something, move something, buy something. Usually buy something. But isn't it neat every once in a while they come out and they're like, Dad, where are you? Where? I'm in here. What do you need? Oh, I just wanted to hang out with you. What are you doing? I just like being with you. You don't think that means something to God? And listen, God's a good father, and God loves us even when we're a mess. But I think God is looking for that one. You know who Enoch was? Enoch was walking with God. Didn't say Enoch. Well, Enoch spent that time in prayer. I don't know what he spent the time doing. I'm sure some praying was done. But it wasn't so much, I got to go see God so I can ask him for a bunch of stuff. It was going, I'm going to go walk with God. You know why? Because I like him. Because he's my friend. Because I want to spend time with him. What do you think about that? Folks, this is talking about faith walk, okay? What did Abel do? He came with the blood sacrifice, folks. If it isn't for the blood sacrifice, we don't even have the ability to develop a relationship with God. This was the first step in the faith walk, was you had to come with the right sacrifice. But do you understand now that your sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that now you have an opportunity to develop a personal relationship with the perfect God of the universe, and he says, I saved you. I'm glad you took that first faith step. But the second faith step is, I want to spend time with you. I want you to get to know me. I want you to seek my face. I sought you and sought you and sought you till you finally turned so I could save you. Now seek me. Seek me. I believe that there are, I'm going to stick my neck out here. I believe the majority of saved American Christians, God is still chasing all the time. And that is a crime. That's criminal. That's wicked. The only time they come see God is if they get in such a bad jam that, you know, he's a spare tire. He's not the steering wheel. He's a spare tire of their life. And that only time they're really interested in God is if they get themselves in a bad enough pickle. And then, you know, maybe we ought to go back to church for a while and until things smooth out. And then guess what? There we go again. Folks, we're talking about faith walk. What can we learn from Enoch? God created us for fellowship. He did not need us. He wanted us. God does not need you. He wants you. God had gone six generations without a man who desired to walk with him. Oh, my goodness. Because Enoch walked with God, God chose to take him to heaven without dying. Walking with God is the second step to becoming a faith walker. The first step, Abel brought a blood sacrifice, salvation. Second step, now that your relationship with God has been restored through the acceptance of a blood sacrifice, you're now blessed to have the privilege to walk with God. Listen, because of salvation, because of imputation, because of transformation, because of adoption, you are now a forgiven, blood-bought child of God, and you are invited by the creator of the universe to have a daily, intimate relationship with him as your heavenly father. And you're just going to ignore that? You're not cashing in on that? Enoch walked with God, but he had to walk with God by faith. See, faith is required if you're going to have a walk with God. You know what? Think about Enoch and when he made this decision. He didn't have the Old Testament complete. He didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have a daily devotional book. He didn't have Alexander Scurby reading the Bible on cassette. And all he had was faith to believe what Adam told him about God. Hey, you know what Adam said? Well, I said, well, what do you mean you walked with God? Well, God would come down in the cool of the day. What does that mean? Well, it's not like you could see him, but you could feel that he was there. And you know what? We just walked and we talked about stuff. And I would pour my heart out to him. And you know what? He would speak directly to me and he would guide my decisions, and I don't know. I think Adam told that story to all of the other generations, but I think it took some. Come on. I think God is still looking for that young person. God is still looking for that young adult. God is still looking for that senior saint that will just get up and say every morning, hey, God. Hey, God, can we spend some time together? Can we just walk for a while? But if you're going to do it, faith is absolutely necessary. Because you know what? Enoch couldn't see God. He had to believe in God. Believe that God would hear him. Believe that God would speak to him. He had to believe these things by faith. What does it mean to walk with God, preacher? Walking with God is a faith walk. It is our desire to reach out to God, to seek Him, to have a seek a personal relationship. It is man pursuing God. What a thing. There's a difference between having daily devotions and walking with God. I've taught you this, but I'm going to review it one more time. Enoch walked with God. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. Folks, daily devotions, I'm not diminishing them, but you have to realize what a daily devotion time is. It's time for you to pray. It's time for you to read your Bible. It's time for you to have the opening conversation of what ought to be a continuing conversation throughout the day. Devotions, to a lot of young people especially, is just another academic assignment. It's something you do so you can mark it off and say, there, I did it. And then you take off and you leave God where you met Him that morning and you say, God, I'll meet you back here in the morning. That's not walking with God. Walking with God is including God in every single moment and every aspect of your life, realizing He's always there and you want Him to be there, to be intimately aware of His presence in every circumstance of life. It's an amazing way to live. It's not, I'm going to read my Bible and pray, and then God, you stay here, because I honestly, I'm going to be doing, saying some things and going to places I'd just soon you not go. But it's no, God, not only do I want you to walk with me, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to protect me. I want you to direct me. I mean, it's a wonderful way to live. The goal is not a certain number of pages read or a certain number of minutes spent in prayer. The goal is establishing a growing and meaningful relation with God, having that opening conversation. I think Lonnie Mattingly said it well when he said, my morning devotions is when I pull out my cell phone, call God, talk to Him on speakerphone. But then what I do is I just don't hang up. I just leave it on speakerphone and we keep talking the rest of the day. That might help the technology generation, okay? You say, preacher, are daily devotions not important? No, Bible study and prayer, both commanded, encouraged in the Scriptures. But you need to view them as an opening conversation with the Lord. As your relationship with God grows, you know what's so great about it? As you develop a relationship with God, you'll find that you enjoy your Bible time and prayer more because you're no longer just completing an academic assignment. You're communicating with a friend. You're spending time with a friend. Reading the Bible and prayer becomes a natural extension of a personal friendship with God, the faith walk. Faith walkers. Where did it start? It started with Abel. It started with the blood sacrifice. All of a sudden now, I'm born into the family of God. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. Now I've got a father-son relationship. And by the way, God sought me. It's my turn to seek Him. Each and every day. I've got good news. God is still seeking for someone that wants to walk with Him. Can I ask you a question? Here it is. Will you be that someone? Are you that someone? And if not, will you be that someone? Okay? I'm not talking about a few minutes of daily devotions every morning. I'm talking about a sustained walk of fellowship where God goes with you every single moment of every single day. You know why witnessing and soul winning is so automatic and seems so natural to someone who walks with God? Because if I, met Levi out here in the parking lot and I had somebody that you didn't know and he was with me, I mean, the polite thing to do, wouldn't it be to say, hey, by the way, have you ever met my friend here? And when you have that intimate relationship with God, it's not an awkward or unusual thing to introduce Him to people around you. When God becomes that real in your personal walk, in your personal day, it's almost rude not to. Okay? I seen you out there in the parking lot. It seemed like you were talking to yourself. No, I wasn't talking to myself, but I was talking to someone. Could I introduce Him to you? Right. What do you think? What do you think? Think about that. Enoch walked with the Lord. If you're walking with a friend, it's natural to introduce that friend to someone you meet along the way who's never met your friend. Hey, let's just do this, okay? All right. He said, preacher, this is a big decision. No, it's not a big decision. Well, you can turn it into a big decision, but to me it's, I don't know if I could do this the rest of my life. Okay, let's try it tomorrow. Preacher, what you're talking about is a higher level than I've lived before, a higher level than I've actually practically walked before in my life. Give it a shot. Give it a shot. Preacher, I'm not even real good at having morning devotion. Are you saved? Are you saved? Come on. Are you saved? Okay, all right. Then God knows who you are. I thought about this, and I'm done. But I thought about Enoch. Okay, he's listening to Adam. He's listening to Adam. But he's still got to have that first time. Okay, can you see him kind of just, he's thinking about it, and he's picturing what it might be like, and he's wondering what it could be like. But he had to have, this is why it was faith, folks. He had to have that one day where he just said, you know, Mrs. Enoch said, where are you going? I'm going to go for a walk. What are you going to do? I'm going to go for a walk. Okay, ladies, that needs to be enough of an explanation sometimes, okay? I'm going for a walk. I'm going to go walk the dog, all right? So, and all of a sudden he gets up on the hill and he's just there. It's like, Lord? And you know, when as soon as you say it out loud, you kind of feel like, anybody watching me? People are going to think I'm nuts. Hey, Lord. Adam, you know, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa Adam, he was telling me that there was a time you used to come down and, like, communicate with people. And every time he tells me about it, my heart begins to burn. I think to myself, I'd like to have that relationship. Lord, I'm Enoch. Nice to meet you. I'm Enoch. Sure like to get to know you. And man, wouldn't it be the first time it was awkward? Come on, first time you ever try to meet somebody, make friends with somebody that you really don't know, isn't it a little awkward? But I think the next day when he showed back up again, it was just like a little bit less awkward. Okay, Lord, I'm back. Let me tell you what happened yesterday, and let me tell you what I'm going to have to do today, and Lord, I could use your wisdom. And folks, listen to me. We've turned this thing into some kind of spooky, and it's not. It's just treating God like he is real. Okay? And spending time with him and including him in every decision, in every conversation, every aspect of your life. And when you get in the habit of doing that, yeah, I have morning devotions, but I'm not, they turn into mid-morning devotions and noon devotions and afternoon devotions and evening devotions until I pillow my head and say, Lord, see you in the morning. And that's walking with the Lord, and that must be done by faith. Heavenly Father, Lord, feel like I'm walking on holy ground. And Lord, to those that understand, they understand, and to those that maybe have not exercised that level of faith, it's hard to explain, but it sure is sweet and it sure is good. And Lord, I think of all the things that you desire and all the things that you want. Maybe high, high, high on the list is just for Christians to want you, to love you, to seek you, to pursue you. Man pursuing God, what a thought. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, that as we are walking our way through Hebrews chapter 11, we look at these different men in different ways, Lord, that they expressed and lived out their faith. I pray, Lord, that we'll look back often to the first two, because I think that those are foundational. There may be someone here, Lord, tonight who has never received you by faith. They've never been saved. Maybe they're relying on some work that they did. How many times have I asked somebody about, are they ready for heaven? And the answer becomes, well, I was baptized, or I joined a church, or my grandparents, or my parents, or I try to do the best I can, or I spoke in tongues once, or a dozen other things. Wait a minute. Have you ever been saved by faith? Not of yourself. No works. Gift of God. Lord, if there's someone here that's never been saved by faith, I pray that they'd be saved today. But also, Lord, for those that have been, sure be a terrible thing for us to have been handed down a Christian heritage and even salvation and receive Christ, but to go through our entire lives with really never living out what Enoch experienced for 300 years, a daily intimate walk with you. And then to raise children because they didn't see mom and dad do it, that did not do it. And how many generations are going to go by before somebody down the line somewhere hears about great, 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 great grandpa and what he used to do and the walk he used to have? And Lord, help us not to drop the ball. We pray these things in Jesus' name.